There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my.
All right, let's roll back to the cut again. Let's go back to Governor Ivey.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
What happened? I think we just had a Bodie McBoatface moment here with FM Talk 106.5. As we, this morning, if you didn't hear, we have crowned this year's 2018 Alabamian of the Year. Remember how this process works? You nominate all the names, then we take them and put them into each heat here, right? We seed the brackets, and y'all vote, and then we end up with the Alabamian of the Year. This is a serious competition for the person, thing, place, or critter that most affected the news cycle in Alabama in 2018. Last year, it was the Auburn Hedge Jumpers. This year, it's Clyde and Henrietta, as you hear, the high-stepping turkeys that were discussed by Governor Ivey when they were pardoned back before Thanksgiving, which shows me that I have lost complete control of the Alabamian of the Year, which is fine. I'm aware of that. Next year, I'll be aware going in that we have lost all control. But so congratulations to Clyde and Henrietta, the high-stepping turkeys, the 2018 Alabamians, let's go plural here, of the year. So it's a thing. They're the winner. And that's how we get started on a Friday edition of Midday Mobile. Hey, y'all, Sean Sullivan, live local talk. We're doing it throughout the next 2 hours. Your calls, your text, 343-0106, 343-0106. I know so much attention on what they're going to do in the new Congress or not do in the new Congress, but let's talk about what the market thinks. If you've been watching that today, pretty interesting story as we've been watching a very volatile and down stock market. Something must be okay. Something must be okay because the Dow is up 823 points today. It has been a stinking bloodbath for, what, a month or more in the market? Yeah, it's got to be, because it was right after Black Friday, right? We thought, or before Black Friday, we thought that was going to turn things around. The market now back up. We're going to find out from Chad Stacy from Stacy Financial what he thinks is causing this today and how long is this run. Is this did we reach the bottom? Are we heading back up? What's going on here? We'll talk to him coming up at 12:30. Also, in the second half of the show, we're going to have 6.5 stories with Dalton Norwig and a conversation from yesterday with Team Fight or Die. Those are four veterans that are rowing across the Atlantic. Number one, trying to win the race, but number two, bringing attention to PTSD issues. And at the same time, they themselves are guinea pigs. Some Colorado State University research going on PTSD, and those men are hooked up and they're guinea pigs for this. And I think it's worth another listen. We'll do that coming up next hour. All right. So what's happening right now? First of all, I just want to say this. I put it on Twitter earlier. Heart goes out to the family, Louisiana family. By the way, if you watch that story about the car wreck, the tanker trailer wreck that was on I-75 there in Alachua County, Florida. Five children among the seven dead. They are all from their church group going to Disney out of Louisiana. They said, FHP said, tractor trailer traveling north on I-75 when it collided with another vehicle. After the crash, both vehicles traveled through the guardrail into the center median and the south lanes of I-75. I guess they would be coming back from Disney if they were northbound. And that's the wreck. You've probably seen the pictures of it. So the tractor trailer crashed into a passenger van and another tractor trailer that was traveling in the... Oh, no, okay. They said it went over to the south lanes of I-75. Tractor trailer caught fire. And a pickup truck then traveled through the scene. Five children killed in a passenger van from church group out of Louisiana. Now, this stands out to me, number one, just because of the loss of life. But number two, have any of y'all driven that section before? You know what I'm talking about? It'd be from I-75 from like Lake City. And this is clear and present in the Sullivan family. Family just got back. I didn't make the ride this year. I met them down there. But family went down to Disney. If you've been down to Disney World, gone to see the rat down there, you know you drive that section. I-10 seems to be pretty doable. I-10's not bad. You drive Mobile to, you know, you head, and then you turn on I-75. I think it's, what is that, Lake City, something like that. It's not horrible at Lake City, but the further you go down 75, something happens. And I'm sure there's somebody who's a super traffic wonk out there who can tell me what happens. My theory is you have people driving very, very fast, like crazy fast, and then people driving underneath the speed limit, and you're mixing them together like oil and water on I-75. That section from there around Gainesville, Ocala, all that area in there, just, and I've seen some bad highway driving. And it's not that it's the, yes, you can go standstill traffic and do all that down there like you can on interstates anywhere, but it's the high speed maneuvers and things that go on. Like, you wouldn't even see it at Talladega. I mean, the stuff that goes on that section of I-75, and I've seen it year after year, taking the family, going to Disney, and, you know, I'm not saying that's exactly what happened here, but that section of Interstate 75, it's probably lucky we don't have a deadly story out of there on a weekly basis. That's it. That's just my little side rant on that. All right, let's get into a couple other things going on in Washington today, as the president is responding to Rashida Tlaib's call to impeach the mother friender. Remember, that was the clip. We're not going to air that clip. But the president responded this morning in a tweet and said, as I've stated many times, if the Democrats take over the House or Senate, there will be disruption to... I'm sorry, wrong one. So many tweets from the president this morning on that. We've now lost the main tweet. That's what happens. Yeah, there it is. It was the right one. As I've stated many times, if the Democrats take over the House or Senate, there will be disruption to the financial markets. We won the Senate. They won the House. Things will settle down. They only want to impeach me because they know they can't win in 2020. Too much success. President Trump, tweeting about himself, said President Trump deserves a lot of credit. But again, you have the anti-Trump people who are not going to give him a lot of credit. Okay. So I would point out that kind of a weird mix of things have happened. The president's saying, if the Democrats take over the House or Senate, there will be disruption to the financial markets. But the markets today, right now, are acting okay. Then the president, just a couple hours ago, tweeting, great job numbers released. Now, he's going to be right on one of these. I'm going to say it's on the most recent tweet. The most recent tweet, as U.S. employers have added 312,000 jobs in the month of December. According to the AP, big step up in hiring in December. Of course, you can talk about seasonal work in that as well. But it says an encouraging display of strength for an economy in the midst of a trade war, slowing global growth, and a partial shutdown of the federal government. Is it in lieu of those, or is it because of those? I mean, seriously, side question. That's one of the things we're going to talk to Chad Stacey about. Is it in spite of them or because of some of them? Labor Department said today that the unemployment rate rose slightly to 3.9%, but reflected a surge in job seekers, which is positive for growth. Average hourly pay. Now, here's the one that we've got to pay attention to. You know, what's the old term that you would use against Bush? McJobs. There'd be a job increase, but it'd be a McJob. It's a job, but nobody's going to make any money here. They go on to say average hourly pay improved 3.2% from a year ago, up from average wage growth of 2.7% at the end of 2017. Said the jolt in hiring offers a dose of reassurance after a tumultuous few months as the outlook for financial markets has turned decidedly bleaker. Job growth at this pace is a sign the economy will continue to expand for its 10th straight year. Now, it's got to be one or the other. I can't figure it out. And just the same way I say this to the AP, and the people releasing jobs numbers, I would say to the president, I would go back, President Trump, and if you could delete the earlier one where you said if the Democrats win the House or Senate, that the financial markets will be bleak, and stick with the one where you said great jobs numbers. I think that would probably be the better choice. Talk about Nancy Pelosi probably in a way that she has not been discussed yet, since she's taken back her giant gavel in Washington. And the question is, can she rein in those to the left of her in the House? Democrats to the left of her. I know you don't believe that's a thing, but it is. We'll talk about it when we get back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
So high-stepping turkeys win the Alabamian of the Year. So hedge jumpers last year, turkeys this year. Got to have a comeback year next year. 2019, I feel this is our comeback year for the Alabamian of the Year. Hey, y'all. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. Heads up, another great event coming to Cottage Hill Package, as they are wont to do. And they're kicking off the new year the right way for craft beer fans with the mother of them all, Sierra Nevada Brewing Company, coming the 17th. That's a Thursday, 17th of this month. And they'll have beers for us to taste and sample. And I'm not guaranteeing it, but quite often those kind of folks show up with swag and goodies while they're there, stickers, hats, those kind of things. There's always great things going on as special events at Cottage Hill Package. If you like them on Facebook, you'll get updates right there. Or you can even sign up for the email blast as well and get those in your inbox for when they have different events. You can say, hey, maybe this is something I want to do. I want to go out for a cigar event, or I want to go out for a craft beer event. Those are happening, so you'll get those notices. And just 24/7. Go by, see the folks at Cottage Hill Package. You're looking for great items for some Mardi Gras celebrations. You're trying to get set up maybe to watch a football game on Monday night. They got the refreshments you need. They've got the craft beer. They have the wine. They have the fine liquors as well, and a huge selection of cigars. Online, cottagehillpackage.com, or just better go see them in person. Corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. All right, 1221 FM Talk 106.5. And coming up, Chad Stacy's going to join us in just a little bit. We're going to talk about what the market's doing today. And I saw somebody said the market was doing great on Twitter. They said the economy was doing great. And I agree. That has been, if you've been listening over the last month and a half or two, that's one of the things that leaves me scratching my head, as Wall Street seems to be working off different information than Main Street. Main Street, and anecdotally what I know around here, except for some in housing and some things, there are some places where there are issues. But overall, the economy is moving. You see the jobs numbers. You see the most important now, that jobs numbers story, I think, is the fact that salaries are going up. Wages are going up. That's very important to it, because if you reach the full employment and you're not driving up what it costs to hire somebody, then something's very wrong with that recovery. But if wages go up, that's what it's supposed to do. That's right and good. Maybe that's what Wall Street is finally seeing. Even though Wall Street works off information in the future, not information today, but I wonder what changed their minds today. We'll find out more coming up when we get Chad's opinion at around 12:35. All right, I mentioned this for Nancy Pelosi. I got a couple things here. Number one. Okay, let's start off with, and I'm not going to play the clip because, get an edited version or whatever, but Rashida Tlaib, 13th Congressional District out of Michigan, has that rally last night, or that event, that celebration, and said, we'll impeach the MF-er, right, about the president. Now, the easy place to go for liberals who have gone, anti-Trumpers have gone, well, you know, President Trump uses that kind of language himself. In that case, I agree. I'm not shocked by it because of the new... Heck, Lindsey Graham the other day dropped an S-bomb on one of the Sunday shows, okay? I'm shaking my head at the whole lot of them, both parties in Washington. But that's the new thing. That's the new hip. Okay, so... But quit focusing on that. You know, so many times during the Obama administration, I said, y'all quit worrying about birth certificates and worrying about the anti-business European socialist model we're going towards. Quit chasing the tennis ball and pay attention to the thing. This is the same thing. What we should focus on is the policies of Rashida Tlaib, what she has espoused, what she has been involved with, but how far left we're talking about in policies here. Now, what she calls president, I mean, oh, well, I mean, seriously, just get over it. I mean, it's not like you have Mike Pence. If Mike Pence was the president and somebody was saying that about Mike Pence, then I would say we got an issue here. You got Donald Trump. I mean, don't worry about that. Worry about the policies of Rashida Tlaib and the agenda. And I'm going to link her through another, because, I saw, and I can't help but doing this, because all the stories from yesterday, other than Pelosi taking the gavel, were, look at all the, all the different people in Congress. I am not against having different looking people in Congress. I don't care. I care about what's in people's heads. I don't care how people look. It's just not, it's not my thing. I don't judge people that way. I judge people on what they say, and what they say they think they, they say they think, but not on how they look. But the whole obsession is how everybody looks. I mean, there's some story about, what was it, Kristen Sinema? She's the first bisexual congresswoman. Hey, give me a break. Who cares? Who really cares? And this is on both sides. If you're all fired up and cheering, you have the first bisexual member of Congress, or you're upset, you have the first. Why are you talking about that? Why aren't you talking about the policies of these? Who gives a darn what they do? Can we queue up behind closed doors? Who cares? Let's look at the policy. Same thing here. Okay, so from Rashida Tlaib on one side to this, the two stories about Ocasio-Cortez that are bouncing around right now that has everybody, they're all divided on the non-important story about her dancing around in some video she made in college, like a goofy video. Why is that a bad thing? She was a college kid. She was dancing around. Who cares? But that seems to be the obsessive on this. Is this, she's a member of Congress, but she here's a video of her dancing around acting silly. Really, you care about that? Why is that the major argument going on today on social media about that when this is sitting right here? Number one, Ocasio-Cortez at least putting herself in the same car here with Lincoln and FDR, and also calling for a 70% top tax rate. This is what you should pay attention to.
You're talking about zero carbon.
Oh, by the way, yeah, this is Anderson Cooper on CBS this morning.
No use of fossil fuels within 12 years?
That is the goal. It's ambitious. And
how is that possible? You're talking about everybody having to drive an electric car?
It's going to require a lot of rapid change that we don't even conceive. Radical decision.
We lost the audio here. Here we go back. Here we go.
Rapid change that we don't even conceive as possible right now. What is the problem with trying to push our technological capacities to the furthest extent possible?
This would require the raising taxes.
There's an element where, yeah, there people are going to have to start paying their fair share in taxes.
Do you have a specific on the tax rate?
You know, you look at our tax rates back in the 60s, and when you have a progressive tax rate system, your tax rate, let's say from zero to $75,000 may be 10% or 15%, et cetera. But once you get to like the tippy tops, on your 10 millionth dollar, sometimes you see tax rates as high as 60 or 70%. That doesn't mean all $10 million are taxed at an extremely high rate, but it means that as you climb up this ladder, you should be contributing more.
What you are talking about, just big picture, is a radical agenda compared to the way politics is done right now.
Well, I think that it only has ever been radicals that have changed this country. Abraham Lincoln made the radical decision to sign the Emancipation Proclamation. Franklin Delano Roosevelt made the radical decision to embark on establishing programs like Social Security. That is radical.
Do you call yourself a radical?
Yeah, if that's what radical means, call me a radical.
Okay, so there's the clip. After much problem with the audio, there's the clip. So I would point out that what I'm trying to get to here is you have Ocasio-Cortez. You can agree with her. You can agree or disagree with her when it comes to taxes or fossil fuels and the reality of that. But discuss that versus whether she's dancing in a video to the music of from the Breakfast Club. I mean, who cares? Same thing. Rashida Tlaib, is it conduct unbecoming a member of Congress or a mother? I gotta say yes. But It's also a new world out there, right? That's what I'm told all the time. But I would be bothered that then-candidate Trump would say X, Y, or Z. People say, well, that's just the way it is. Okay, well, then the other, it works the other way. But how about the fact that she has a very radical agenda as well? And where I said this would come home and sit with Nancy Pelosi is this question of what responsibilities is now the Speaker of the House, leader of the Democrats, what responsibility does Nancy Pelosi have to rein folks in here? Because she's worried. These are the folks, the radicals, the progressives, these are the people that were going to move to not have her become Speaker of the House, right? They were in the insurrection. Now, the new people couldn't say anything about it, but it was the same vibe. So she's got to play ball a little bit with those, the same way Republicans and even President Trump have to play ball with the Freedom Caucus on the right. Pelosi has said she's not in the business of making any comment here or editing members of her own party after that. Okay? So two things are going on here. Number one, she's not doing that. You can say, well, that's just because Democrats have no desire to do that. That's what they're all about. That might be the easy putt there. Or is it because that there's a fear within the Democrats that the real traction for Democrats is this way left of Nancy Pelosi agenda? All right, we'll take a fast one here because I want to talk to Gary, but here we got about 1 minute.
Okay, was that Cortez talking about the all-electric cars, everybody?
Yes.
Okay, she's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. The Ford just announced, and Toyota and all these other people are right behind them, they're stopping production on electric cars.
Well, GM did, yeah.
Because they're not selling.
Yeah, I don't know. Did Ford do it? I know GM did. I know GM was a big story.
No, they're all, the Volt gone. Prius gone. All of it gone.
Is Prius gone?
Ford, in fact, is going to stop production on all passenger cars except the Mustang and only make trucks and SUVs because those are the gas guzzlers people want.
Now, I appreciate the call, Gary. I'm up against the hard break here for news, but thanks for the call. We'll dig on this during the break. Now, I absolutely knew the Chevy Volt. That was the big story that, and then President Trump coming out and kind of threatening if they move those jobs away. The Chevy Volt is the, Dalton, we got to dig here. Are we not making Priuses anymore? The other ones, I didn't know that was a thing. All right, be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you along. Hey, great text from y'all with some detail here and all that. I just opened up the show. At the beginning of the hour, if you didn't catch it, I was talking about the very sad story from on I-75 there near Gainesville, that accident. And it's not something we want to do here is to focus on there's a lot of shows, a lot of cable news networks focus on things that go on that are more like a local story, but they focus on it there. But the reason I was focused, number one, it's a sad story because you have Louisiana family that was killed in that wreck on I-75. Five of the killed out of the seven were children coming back from a church trip they did down to Disney. But I was just anecdotally talking about what we've seen, the Sullivans, as we go to see the rat, we've got the children, we load up, we go down, do the Disney thing. It's been, many times. And then I have family in South Florida, so we're making that same ride quite a bit, a couple times a year. And that section of I-75 around Gainesville, I just said, like I said on Twitter earlier, is to me, has always been white-knuckle driving, scary. I think it's a mix of people driving incredibly fast. Incredibly fast. I'm not talking about, getting on down the road. I'm talking about want to be NASCAR fast, and then people driving very slowly and people not knowing where they are because they're looking at a map or something. They're coming in from Schenectady or whatever they are, going down to Orlando. And the combination, that I-10 seems very normal, but you get to Lake City and get on 75 down through Alachua County there, where you go through Gainesville and you've got Ocala and all that. It has always just scared me. And I'm looking at a lot of texts from y'all saying the same thing. Been through that section. People have seen wrecks through there. We've seen wrecks. We've seen a lot. I'm looking at the number of people that have seen the same thing I have there. So I don't know what they can do down there, but it's just while it's a story from Central Florida, it's a story that affects so many of us here. because we go down there, taking the families down there. All right, I mentioned as I was starting off the show today and said, hey, maybe it's just the fact that I said that Chad Stacy from Stacy Financial would be on with us today, or maybe it's some other factor out there, but either way, I see a lot of green on the ticker right now, Chad. Things are looking a lot better on Wall Street. Dow up 763 points as of right now.
Yeah, hey, Sean, how you doing?
I'm good, man.
Happy New Year to you. Yeah, the obviously the jobs report came out very positive. I think, you know, cashing the year out to an average of about 270,000 jobs created per month, I think is what the average came out to be. So I think that's what kind of that, along with the Federal Reserve Chairman Powell, some of the comments he made, commenting on how he might shift their planning, you know, based on the market activity. I think that's what really gave the market a shot in the arm, so to speak.
How much of that, this has to be your guess here, but how much of that is data that they have at the Fed, and how much of that is people on the blower there from the White House going, you're killing me here. You're killing me with this. You don't even mention a rate increase.
Yeah, that's a good question, Sean. I mean, personally, my opinion, I did not think we needed another rate hike, and that was based on fundamental data, right? For whatever reason, the Federal Reserve Chairman thought we needed a rate hike, and what did it do? It plunged the market, and not only that, but, you know, you go back several weeks ago, we talked about the inversion of the yield curve between the 2 and the 5 year notes.
Right.
Well, now, because of that rate hike, the Federal Reserve, the federal funds rate and the 10-year Treasury yield is closer than it's been in a long, long time, and that's due to that federal fund. That's due to the rate hike, and that concerns me because the federal funds rate and the 10-year yield, that's what you don't want to see an inversion on, and we're really close to that figure.
Yeah, but, so Chad, you do a good job of this. Can you put it in some language a hayseed like me can understand? So when you have those, that rate, walk back through that.
So you've got the federal funds rate,
okay,
that the federal funds sets, or the Federal Reserve sets, and that rate historically has been the rate that that banks can borrow money from the Federal Reserve for, and,
right,
and in turn, they, you know, you go into a bank and you get a loan for a car, you get a loan for your home, and those interest rates that you get from a bank or a credit union is set based on the rate that the federal, that they can borrow the money from the Fed, you know.
Right, so they can borrow it at this federal funds rate, and then they add on different percentages depending on what the loan is and the nature of the loan.
Absolutely, and that's how banks make money, you know.
Right.
They don't make money off CDs. They make money off their loans and their ability to either borrow the money or either safeguard themselves based on what they can access money to the Federal Reserve on. When you get the 10-year yield as close to the federal funds rate as it is right now, you know, that's where you start seeing concern of an inversion on the yield curve. It's, you know, what they blew up on the news, you know, I guess close to a month ago now, with that interest rate inversion, they were looking at the 2 year versus the 5 year yield. Those rates, that time frame is way too close together to even be concerned about an inversion. Those rates might as well be the same rate, for in my opinion. But when you get the 10 year yield as close to the federal funds rate as it is right now, that's where I start to be concerned.
And why is it, though? I mean, I've asked you this question in so many different forums, Chad, but, I mean, the things we're looking at often are not reflected on Wall Street, right? So, Main Street and the fundamentals there are looking good. I mean, now, there's sectors and housing and all that absolutely are not, but day in and day out, you know, amongst your peers and anecdotally, people are employed. People are making more money. And then, you know, back in November, actually back in October, here goes Wall Street with that. And then now you're talking about some things that may be a real issue, but Wall Street is charging.
Yeah, and Sean, I would also tell you a lot of the market data, where the market's trading right now, a lot of what we're talking about, the jobs, the interest rates, all of that is really already cooked into the market prices. And again, one point I'll throw out there at you, too. at the peak of the market, whether you look at the Dow or the S&P, September 28th or October 3rd, whichever date you want to go with, that was the all-time high of the U.S. stock market. It also was one of the largest purchases of individual investors into the Vanguard, you know, U.S. large cap index stock. So what you're seeing is, you know, individual investors seeing an all-time high in the market and, of course, making a bad decision and saying, oh, I want to participate in the market now that it's jumped up.
Yeah.
You know, however many it's an all-time high. Let's put all our money in there now. I think that's what you're seeing as far as such a dip in the market. I think that's got to do with some of the downturn.
Yeah, that's, and like what you've said, is if it's already cooked in, then things that happened months before reflected now, or what's happening now in the market is showing what they think is going to happen down the road, not today.
Exactly. We're talking about job figures that happened in December, right? We don't know what's going to happen in January, and really all you can do is look back at the previous data to kind of make your predictions on where you go moving forward. But Sean, at the same time, you have to be careful looking back, right? Because what's happened in the past has already happened. It's really no indicator of what's going to happen moving forward. And I'll give you a real quick example. The job numbers in the last recession in 2008, the jobs continued to be positive until about 6 months into that recession in 2008, and that's when the jobs turned negative. And that kind of gives you an idea that you look back at the indicators, but until you're actually in that situation, in a recession or whatever, until you're there, sometimes you don't know it, unfortunately.
Okay, you could, and that rings true, that while we can say, looking out the rearview mirror, say, oh, that's absolutely when it happened, that's when it started, when you're actually in the moment, you don't see it.
That's true. That's very true. And you know, you're also, you know, you have to understand the market's going to have its up and downs. The S&P just broke a nine-year consecutive positive streak. It went down about 4% in 2018. Small caps were down about 11%. Foreign stocks were down about 13%. They kind of led the charge of the downturn, obviously, with the international activity, with the problems that they've got. But you just have to understand that sometimes you're going to have those downturns in the market, and for the individual investor, the best thing to do is stay with your diversified portfolio, stay the course, and don't get caught in trying to buy and selling at the highs and lows of the market. I promise you, it's not going to work.
You stick with the good old-fashioned, what, dollar cost average and just stay steady?
That's a good way to put it. I mean, I'll give you a good example on that. The S&P 500 actually lost 6%, but because of dividend reinvestment, their loss was only about 4% this year. So that goes to show that dollar cost averaging, those dividend reinvestments, they really do work over time. And Sean, you know, look at where we are now compared to the highs that we were at early October, late September. This would be a great opportunity to buy into the market. I don't know where it's going from here, but I can tell you, you're getting a much better price on your stocks or your mutual funds today than you were at the beginning of October.
Yeah, you've got, you know, there's weirdos like me that, as I'm reporting the stories of Apple's demise here in the stock, I keep going, well, this is good news for me. It'll probably get where I can afford to buy back in as it goes down. But what about that? Because the Apple story, it has obviously a international tie. We are in part of a global market. How tied are we? Could you say it as a percentage or anything that, as goes the world, goes our economy? Is it 100%? Is it 50%? Is it, what do you put it at, Chad?
You know, it's hard to put an actual figure on that, Sean. You know, speaking specifically about Apple, obviously they lowered their estimates based on the fact that they don't think they can sell as many devices And you know, I agree with him. I have an Apple phone. My brother has an Apple phone. If you're an Apple customer, you're very loyal. If you're into the Apple program, it's going to be hard to get out of it. But at the same time, Sean, I'm not going out every year and purchasing a brand new iPhone every time the new iPhone comes out. And I think that's what Apple is seeing as a problem. That on top of the fact that, you know, what they're reporting is the tariffs and the problems with China is affecting their production.
But help me with that. I mean, you just said it. I ranted on this when that story started. And, you know, I'm just, how is it that, even though Tim Cook is a good old boy from South Alabama as well, but a good old boy from South Alabama can sit here and go, well, of course, eventually you reach a new level of sales because you've now inundated the market and you do have replacement or new buyers with children getting older coming on board, but you don't have this wide open market where your product has not been, it was not available to people. I mean, eventually, how did the forecasters not see that? How does an old boy like me, pickup truck driving old boy like me in South Alabama, see it and some wonk in New York can't see that?
Don't be too hard on yourself, Sean, and I will give a shout out to Tim Cook. He actually went to Auburn, where me and my brothers went, and my dad's a war eagle to Tim. But you know, the fact is, you're right. I mean, they came out with estimates that just couldn't survive the actual market. I don't think Apple's going anywhere. I think they have a very loyal base. They have an outstanding product, but they're going to have to. They're going to have to work on their estimates. They're going to have to figure out a way to continue to make a profit on selling new devices, whether that's dropping the price, coming out with different options for current iPhone customers that already may have an iPhone, an iPad, or whatever. But, you know, I'm just going to piggyback off that, Sean, real quick, to Microsoft. Microsoft has a right now, and this is just my opinion, a much better niche, because especially in the corporate world, almost every corporation has to have Microsoft Windows to operate their computer systems, and they have a much better forecast, in my opinion, for growth in 2018, as well as Amazon.
But that means the fundamentals of Apple being a company in a year or 5 years or 10 years, to me, doesn't seem to go away because of some nuance with saturation and a tariff battle with the Chinese.
I don't think so either, Sean. And you look, we've been battling, you know, trade with China and other foreign countries for years. I don't think this is anything new. I think that obviously the president has put more pressure on China than really any president that I can remember. And you know, for good or bad, you know, that's happening right now. But you know, let's be real. The trade war has always been there. There's always been the problem with them, you know, stealing intellectual property and all
sure.
of the things that they do in their type of dictatorship world. But I don't think that's going to put Apple out of business. They're going to have to find a way around those trade wars, and I think they'll do it. I think they're very smart people. They have a very, very loyal base, and I don't think they're going anywhere. But you know, again, it could be a buying opportunity because of the discount and the price.
We're talking to Chad Stacy with Stacy Financial. We're looking at this stuff every day. All right, so when this all returns on Monday, and I still don't think we have a shutdown stopping. I think the shutdown goes on, at least as a political side. I think it goes on a while here. I don't see anything on either side that makes me think they're about to strike a deal. Does that eventually, if it lasts long enough, in your opinion, does it become a non-issue in the market? You want to say once it's present and it's digested by Wall Street enough, does even a government shutdown become like yesterday's news and already cooked in?
That, you know, Sean, that's a great question. I know that it's happened in the past, happened with Clinton, when Bill Clinton was in office for a substantial period of time. Now, granted, you know, my brother Todd knows a lot more about the political scene than I do, and I'm going to lean on him for that. But as far as being in the market, my opinion is I don't think the stock market, I don't want to say cares. I mean, that's a strong word. I don't think there is concern with the government shutdown as they are with what the Federal Reserve said today with the jobs report and with these trade deals with China. I think those are all much more important than the politicians fighting in Washington over really a tiny percentage of what the budget is. I think it's ridiculous, in my opinion.
There we go. People want to reach out to you, Chad. How do they do that to find out more about what you're thinking and things like, dollar cost averaging?
Anybody can call me. You can call me direct at area code 334-322-9184. I'm in Pensacola. I cover several different credit unions in Pensacola. Please reach out to me. At any point, I'd be more than happy to help you, help answer any questions that you have.
All right, man. Have a great weekend. I have a feeling we'll be talking next week.
Hey, thanks, Sean. Happy New Year to you again. You take care.
Will do. Thank you. Happy New Year to you as well, Chad. Stacy checking in. And we're rolling on Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. Grab some calls when we get back here. 343-0106.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:56, FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad you are here. Big thanks to Chad Stacy. Tell you what, I wish we had more time. It comes back on next week. We'll talk about it. He and I were in a rollicking discussion during the news break there, too. But you think about that. Just some of the things that leave me scratching my head. Obviously, these computers have a lot to do in computer trading because Amazon stock lost money. Amazon's bigger than ever. Every day you wake up, Amazon is bigger than ever. They had a gigantic Christmas season. FedEx that flew the packages that we bought through Amazon to all the good boys and girls all over the fruited plain. They made big money. They were big volume. Their stock goes down. There's this disconnect. Sometimes it shows itself. Sometimes it's maybe hidden. But there's a disconnect between Main Street and the economy that you and I and you and you and you and you, we can all talk about. Our business is better. More people are employed. People have gotten raises. They got more security in their job. Whatever it is. We just had the jobs numbers come out, and it wasn't really the actual raw jobs number that was impressive, because heck, there was a little bit of a decline, even though there's reasoning for it. But to me, what stood out was the increase in salaries. That's what you want to see, right? You've pressed it enough where you have enough people that are looking to hire people that they're raising what they pay them. That is good for an economy. That is healthy for an economy. So all these things go on, but Wall Street has been in a volatile is an understatement. Volatile is an understatement. All right. Coming back next hour, some 6.5 stories with Dalton Orwig. Also, a conversation we had with the guys from Fight or Die, the rowing team crossing the Atlantic. That's going to be part of the next hour. And if you didn't catch it this morning or at the beginning of the show, we have crowned this year's 2018 Alabamian of the Year. I guess we have to have two crowns. Clyde and Henrietta, the high-stepping turkeys, they won it. I'm not pleased, but it's the truth. They won. All right, be right back.